X10, number 3B.
Consciousness or dissolves, doesn't matter, resolves, dissolves, annihilates, destroys, it's all the same thing. Hmm? Destroys, or what did you have? Dissolves erroneous consciousness. Yes. Well, if it dissolves erroneous consciousness, then man has only that consciousness, naturally, which exists in perfection. That's right. So what we have written down here is that immortal man forever exists in perfection. In perfection, not imperfection. All right, please stop here for a moment. Or now we come to the last column, to love, and we just want to see what we would find here if we would consider the idea of love, which means man one with God, in contrast to the belief that man is separated from God. Therefore, we would have to start here again with the proposition in mind, mind that presents the proposition and says, now, what is what? Which says that man, the true man, is always the manifestation of mind. Mind, manifestations of itself, is man. So that man is always one with mind, whereas the belief is that mortals are propagated by mortals, by mortal mind, by matter. This is the situation from which to start, that we show one kind of man is one with mind, namely the idea man. And the other proposition is that a mortal is propagated by mortal mind. From there then we can go on. So let's perhaps write here, man is the manifestation of mind. Man is the manifestation of mind, whereas mortals are propagated by mortal mind. If we have that, and have first the creative sense of mind here, then spirit would show us the true evolution, the real evolution, versus the unreal evolution. Here we would see that man is brought forth only by spirit, whereas that which is considered to be a mortal is actually not evolved by spirit, that it is, so to say, evolved both materially and spirit, that it is a belief that it is evolved materially and spiritually, therefore unreal. So first in mind we had the statement, what is man? Man is the manifestation of mind. A mortal is not that manifestation of mind. Then in spirit, what is then man? Man here is shown as, we could perhaps write down, man is brought forth by spirit. Man is brought forth by spirit, the real. He is not evolved both materially and spiritually. He is not evolved both materially and spiritually. Therefore, Therefore again, in soul, we would have to find now that the true sense of man, created and evolved by spirit, should really be the superior idea, the higher idea. How can that be brought out, that unity of man, God, how can that unity brought out as higher? It can be brought out that we see that man is actually identified with God, that he is not identified with something lower than God, that he is actually God's image and likeness, that's the identity, and therefore is not identified with something lower than that, say, with the body. So the unity of man here again is brought out through soul as seeing that man, perhaps we can write that, that man is identified with God, that man is identified with God and not with body. And not with body, with his body. So you lift him out of body. And you see, in this way, we begin to see, all right, then we lift him out of body and see that the true man, that man which is always one with mind and evolved through spirit, is actually identified only with God, soul, and not with his body. Isn't that very reasonable? Yes. Then, when we see that, actually we can see that if he is identified in soul with God, that then he is backed up by God as principle, so to say. Therefore, man's unity with God comes out in which way? That man is the work, or that man only works as God works. Principle operation of itself. That man is so identified now with soul that in principle he can't do anything but work as God works. And so we give to that a sense of principle. Shall we write this down? That we see here, man can only work as God works. Which, in a way, we just could as well have said that man's harmony abides in principle, or man abiding in principle is harmonious, would be the same way, saying man abiding in principle, you see that unity, is harmonious, there because he works as God works. So both ways, really, you see, completely different terms we could take, but they would really bring out the very same essence, the same subject. Yes? Then naturally, the moment we see that man works only as God works, when we see that man is as harmonious, therefore as its principle, then with life, truth and love, we always get right away the demonstration of that harmony, where we would see at once that if man works as God works, therefore life would say, life demonstrates life. Life really demonstrates immortal man. So we could perhaps see that man is immortal, that man is immortal. But we must see why, because life demonstrates life, That's the principle of it. And the unity between principle and idea is shown that because life demonstrates life, man is immortal. He is one with principle and therefore in life immortal. In truth, we see that man therefore is that idea which is perfect and therefore destroys all sense of the mortal sense of man, that life being immortal, therefore nothing else can be immortal that does not coincide with truth. So we could see here that man actually man, as a reflection of truth, destroys every erroneous sense, perhaps like that. That man, as a reflection of God, that's the unity. Man, as a reflection of God, destroys an erroneous sense of man. Yes, if we have that, then naturally, if all the erroneous sense of man is destroyed, there is nothing left there that is in between God and man, that would interfere with man's unity with God. And so in love we can see that man, perhaps we can write that man is inseparable, that man is inseparable from God. Yes. Perhaps let's close read again, and one has to be aware that the main tone is actually that inseparability of God and man, that man is not separated from God. How can I dissolve the belief that man is separate from God? That's the question. I can dissolve that belief of man's separation of God by first stating in mind the problem, saying, but you know, actually all that what mind manifests is really man. And only that which mortal mind propagates is that mortal that is separated from God. So all that mortal mind propagates is separated from the origin of the one mind and therefore is separate from God. So I have first the proposition stated, then I begin to see in spirit, but only that which comes from God can evolve, and that it does only evolve spiritually, and that that is the only evolution going on, that another evolution is not real, that an evolution where matter and spirit work together in order to bring forth so-called organic evolution is not the reality of man and therefore not one with God, that only spirit's own evolution of itself is real and one with God. If we see that, then we come to soul and say, all right, then if only spirit brings forth the spiritual, true, real man, then man in soul is identified with God. He is absolutely one, identified is another sense of oneness, of inseparability. He is one, is identified with God, and therefore he is no more identified with his body. So that man which has a body is not man, and so is inferior to the identity of man as God's own idea. If we have seen that man is identified with God, principle comes right along and says, then man can only operate and work the way principle works. Therefore, he is one with principle in operation. Therefore, he takes part in the harmony of principle. And that at once lifts us right out of a mortal sense of man in life and says, therefore, if principle demonstrates or operates only harmoniously, then what is that demonstration? That demonstration is life demonstrating life. Life demonstrating, therefore, what? That man, as idea, is one with life, therefore immortal, in truth, therefore without any sense of error, he's just factual, and so this is wiping away an erroneous sense of man, and we can really see in love, really see what? That man has always been inseparable from God. Yes? So again we have that rhythm going right through. Okay. So we would have made here a matrix, you see, of a quite unique law. Perhaps we have never been thinking that way. We have perhaps been satisfied just by realizing that every idea of the synonymous term is dispelling the counterfeit sense of that synonymous term. And so we may have been happy to see that this idea has a Christ dispelling its opposite illusion. Here now we have enlarged that through the index J. We have enlarged it by showing that this dispelling is a whole process, is a step-by-step process which we can make in our mentality. That it's only a way of how we can be aware of this process. Therefore you can see it must be a subtone, it must be a guiding line for the human thought. It's not a guiding line for the absolute idea, but for human thought. How could we reason out, so to say, the process of dispelling an illusion? And so in this index J, we have a terrific fundamental law that is governing this dispelling of an illusion. We could see that, as I have pointed out before, that actually this index J does not follow the days of creation sense, though it follows the word order. But because it has always to do with getting rid of its opposite, it brings in the Christ sense of this word order. A process sense of dispelling the belief. When we compare, for instance, the last horizontal, you can always see that on the last horizontal love, where all is idea, where the idea is one with God, we have always arrived there at the climax where we could see that the opposite has become nothing. In mind, if we read it through, we have seen that matter is obsolete. Then we have seen in spirit that matter becomes unknown. In soul, we have seen that any limitation is impossible. In principle, you see, we have come to the consciousness that any conflict ceases. Or in life, that we have come to the end of mortality. In truth, we see that man forever exists in perfection, and then in love even higher, we begin to see that man is inseparable from God, and so we have a terrific can you say, a resolving process coming to an end? Yes. Also, if you take this, and you know that because it is a square matrix, you could follow through the diagonal and find in the diagonal very strong sense of the subject of dissolving and dispelling. You could see if we go through the diagonal, let's just read it through and see it, the flow of it. It starts out that metaphysics and not matter is the basis, or that ideas of mind are the basis and matter is not the basis. Therefore, we come to the next. Spirit is real and matter unreal. You know how strong this diagonal is. And spirit is real, matter is unreal. Then we come to soul and see, oh, God is the soul of man. And that soul is never in body. And so you are lifted up really above the body, and you come to principle as principle, realizing actually that only principle is governing the universe. A principle and idea alone is good and governs the universe. That when that is so, life as life shows us that we are therefore in for an infinite progression of life. Isn't it wonderful? Very strong are these diagonal boxes. And though we come to truth as truth, where we see that this true consciousness dissolves erroneous consciousness, so that finally, in love as love, man is inseparable from God. Can you hear how strong a diagonal is? It just is, so to say, the backbone of the whole body, spiritual body. Yes. So, here we have it, and we finished it, and I wonder if you know what we have been doing. Oh, yes. Yeah? Well, what have we been doing? What do you think? Now, you keep quiet. What have we been doing? Everybody said yes. Loud, structuring consciousness, 7x7 matrix, revealing the real man. Our idea destroys illusion. Where do we find that in the textbook? Where do we find that in the textbook? All right, New, you come now, Meredith. You have waited for a long, long time. You see, she caught me right when I started. Yes, you see, if we would know now the fundamental matrix of the textbook very well, if that would be ingrained in our consciousness, we would have seen at once that I present here that which the divine principle dictated to Mrs. Eddy when she was writing down the first part of the Signs of Being. And I have taken it out of that. So what I have presented to you is actually not quite honest. It was it wasn't my deduction, but it was the result of studying the first part of the 10th chapter, where Mrs. Eddy gives that wonderful law that an idea has a Christ, and that idea dissolves an illusion. And then, when one considers how she elaborates the substones in that first part, then one arrives at this law that we have in the index J. So actually what we were trying to do in a feeble way was to think out the principle of the first part of the 10th chapter. And if we would know purely and spiritually the two indices that are involved there, because we could know them. It's stated, it's idea versus illusion, and that versus is a dispelling. So we have the two indices stated and could therefore, in a way, rewrite that part. And that's what I wanted to show you, that Mrs. Eddy did not just write down something, but that the structure principle of being, not just a God Almighty, but the structure principle of being was dictating that textbook. And not just the God Almighty. Science reveals, and science has structure. And so I try to show you how this could come into being and how, when we know the structure principle, how we can more or less rewrite or re-establish in consciousness the main body of a chapter. That's it. Yeah. Huh? Good. All right. That's it.